Well, good morning, everyone. We got a lot of scripture to read, so we better get to it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day. And we do pray for what's going on over in Israel. And just, we look and we see the hatred of the Jewish people. And these are serious consequences that sometimes we Americans miss because we're so worried about the next election. Bless our time now as we study your Sabbath rest. We all look forward to that ultimate rest that we can have because of who we are in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, Exodus 31, verse 16. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Okay, so we talked about that last week. We looked at Exodus 20. We looked at Old Testament, how serious, the guy picking up sticks that got stoned for that. So now we are moving into the New Testament and what it says about that. And remember, early on with Jesus, especially Jesus, this is still, if you will, Old Testament timing. Even though it's in the New Testament, the Mosaic Law is still going on until the resurrection and then, of course, Pentecost. So on Luke, we looked at Luke 23, verses 54 to Luke 24, verse 1, where it talks about after the crucifixion on the Sabbath, as it was drawing near the preparation day, which would be Friday, the women they went to find out where Jesus was laid. They rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Then on the first day of the week, they went, and of course, the tomb was empty. Okay, so just the Sabbath was kept by, obviously, those women, but Jesus himself. Somebody, Luke, line of sight tasking, we said in the military, line of sight tasking. Luke 4, verses 16 to 30. This is Jesus and the Sabbath. Luke 4, verses 16 to 30.
So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all who bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say this prophet to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever you have heard down in Capernaum, you also hear in your country." Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many go before Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath, the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down under the cliff.
Yeah. Turn the page.
And then passing through the midst of them, he went his way.
All right, so a lot there that we're not going to get into, but the main thing is he went to the synagogue, just the order of service, if you will, the bulletin in the synagogue, what is interesting from the historical, but what he did, reading scripture and then sitting down to comment on it, but as was his custom in the synagogue. And so he's, you know, of course, some very prophetic words, and just one word in verse 26, the Zarephath. See, that was he was a Gentile. That was a Gentile area. So the Jewish people, how dare he talk about Elijah going to Gentiles? And so all of a sudden, just like you people, every Sunday, the sermon, you're filled with wrath. You know, so, but the main point I wanted to make, you know, from this was on as his custom. So Jesus kept, appropriate for the time, he kept the Mosaic Law, commandment number 4. All right, Kelvin, would you read Acts chapter 13, verse 14? Acts chapter 13, 14 first. I was going to read the whole passage, but for the sake of time, we're going to pick up some highlights here. Acts 13, verse 14.
But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went to the synagogue on Sabbath day and sat down.
Okay, so Paul, this is the first missionary journey. So the first thing Paul would do was go find the town and go to the synagogue, and there he would, of course, cause trouble by preaching Jesus. Read verse 44 next. Acts 13:44. So then, you know, the visitors came back. Except I see our visitors, it was, did not come back that he was upset that the guy got stoned. Now verse 50. Okay, so because of his preaching, you get the women stirred up, you're in trouble. No. But see, this is, so Paul, you know, Jesus, synagogue, proclaiming this quote-unquote new message that the people didn't want to hear. Paul, same thing. All right, so Paul, Jesus, keeping the Sabbath, if you will. Paul is after Pentecost, but he is still going to the synagogue, which, you know, there's no Christian churches really for the day yet. And so he would start there. He went to the Jew first. Then later on, he's going to go to the Gentiles. So what should be then the priority of the Sabbath? So we had those Old Testament verses. And see, that's, we'll get into this, but so how do we keep it the way the Jewish people of the Old Testament did? So what should be the priority? Is it just legalism, or is it really a blessing? So for example, in the Mishnah, which is the Jewish commentary on the Torah, the law, the Old Testament, the first 5 books of the law of the Old Testament, the Mishnah is a commentary. And they put that together with other writings to make what is called the Talmud. That is the scripture, put that in quotes, of Judaism today. But it was starting to come around, echoes of it even back then. But listen to some of the definitions. The Mishnah listed 39 kinds of forbidden work. See, here's a list. Don't do these 39 things. sowing, plowing, harvesting, threshing, weaving two threads, spinning, sewing two stitches, writing two letters of the alphabet, extinguishing a fire, think about that, igniting a fire, carrying an object from one place to the other. So that's how precise they got. And we'll see that, you know, of course, Jesus ran afoul of man's, you know, man's addition, man's, you know, 39 additions to the Bible, we might say. We would never do that today, but back then they did it all the time. All right, Pam, would you please read Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 5.
That's good.
So can you get the picture? Now, that list we just read, what were his disciples doing? They were harvesting, then they were threshing by, you know, getting rid of the chaff. They were grinding. I mean, they were breaking all of these man-made commandments. And so now Jesus, of course, challenges them, you know, with the Old Testament. You know, you scribes and you legalists, the Pharisees, who were big Pharisees, were known for adding lots of extra commandments to the Bible, we'll say. Sadducees were more the liberals, but the Pharisees, boy, they had their lists. And so Jesus is violating all these different, you know, eating food, rubbing, you know, that's winnowing, plucking, that's harvesting. He went through the grain fields. He's traveling. My goodness, if only he had an elevator, he would have violated the elevator. You know, I told you about those. But Jesus says, and this is from the Old Testament, we won't go there, but back in 1 Samuel, when David was on the run from enemies out to get him, he went to the tabernacle and the showbread. There were 12 loaves of bread there as a sort of a harvest, we might call an offering to the Lord. And that's food. David ate it. And there was no condemnation there. And Jesus saying, how come that was in the Old Testament? How come he was not condemned for that? And the high priest who was there, and I forget the guy's name, but he didn't complain. So what's the big deal, guys? You're missing this. And then that final statement, his authority, I am Lord of the Sabbath. You know, the tabernacle, the temple, the presence of God in the Old Testament. We have God the Son in our presence now. So let's not get wrapped up about, you know, how many grains of grain we ate. And one of the misunderstandings, you know, you've heard the phrase, strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You know, we're good at picking apart these little things and missing the forest for the trees. And Jesus, part of the purpose of the Sabbath is, yes, there's a purpose for it, but for needs, it was never intended to legislate against the needs. If you're hungry, you know, think of that fire. That one just struck me again. So if your house catches on fire, you're not allowed to put it out? You know, that's just, duh, ridiculous. you know, sort of the elevation of the inconsequential. And we're good at that today. We're so worried about this that we're missing Iran bombing Israel. But what about the election? What about those transgender rights? You know, this the priority in the wrong place. All right, next one. Lauren, would you mind reading Luke chapter 13? Verses 10 to 17. Through 17.
When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all wonderful things he was doing.
Okay, can you get the picture? I mean, that's just almost humorous. Sad, but humorous. But another, you know, that don't you water your donkey on the Sabbath? Why can, you know, healing, mercy and healing, the Sabbath was for things like that. See, and so how the traditions, if you will, the legalism of man has got, you know, there's six other days. Why didn't you come some other day to get healed? Tickles me, sorry. All right, Janet, would you read Matthew 12? Verses 1 to 13. Read the next verse.
Then the Pharisees went out and took counsel against him, how they might destroy him.
Do you get the picture there? Once again, that's a repetition, or Matthew's recounting of what we read in Luke 6. But it adds a little bit that, you know, so how about the priests? They were killing animals for sacrifices. They were doing work, but they were guiltless because that was required for proper worship. So, you know, sort of showing them the inconsistency in their thinking. And then he pulls up. You hate it when Jesus does that. Hosea 6:6, if you remember, from our Hosea sacrifice, where God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And so once again, they're worried about the minutiae when they're missing the bigger picture, like healing a guy. You know, once again, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Then gives them an example of the sheep. You know, how many of you would not pick up your sheep? Well, that's work according to your definition. You can't do that. You have to let the... Why didn't the sheep... The other 6 days of the week, why didn't the sheep fall in then? You know, that, I mean, that's just sort of the silliness. But then verse 14, I asked Janet to read that. See, this old fogies like me, we don't like new stuff. And the Pharisees then, okay, we got to destroy this guy. And the people, you look at the joy of the people. They're not being, somebody is preaching with authority and not binding them with all the legalism of the Pharisees. So the law then should serve people, not the other way around. See, sometimes legalism is we want to serve the rules and regulations. Now, they may be good, they may be necessary, but we have to keep our priority. And then once again, the authority, there's one greater than the temple here. See, they obviously they don't get who Jesus is as God the Son. So Janet, yeah. How do you answer that? Because he's got us here. And that's his human nature. I won't mention political parties or anything else, but irony is lost on people. They don't get sometimes what hypocrites they are. And when that's pointed out to them, that instead of saying, oh, yeah, I guess I am. No, they get angry and want to destroy you. Oh, yeah, well, you're stupid. That finishes all arguments. John 7, verses 22 and 23. Actually, John, would you please read that just to... John 7, 22 and 23.
Long before the law of Moses. For if the correct time for circumcising your son falls on the Sabbath, you go ahead and do it so as not to break the law of Moses. So why should you be angry with me for healing a man on the Sabbath? Look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly.
See, so the NLT had some good commentary there. See the point. You're missing the point. You are obeying, you know, circumcision. That's important. It's okay to, if you will, violate, quote unquote. You're not really violating it. But according to your rules, it's okay to, you know, to disregard working on the Sabbath because you are circumcising, which is much more important at that time. So, and I like that. How it said there, you're missing the point, or forget the words used, but see, priorities. Sometimes we get so hung up on the unimportant. And so, you know, you think they like hearing that, you know, when you circumcise on the Sabbath, oh, well, that doesn't count. That's important. But you doing this is wrong. You know, it's the but excuse. But you. That's a faulty informal logic. Bad. Yeah, can't say it. Any other questions so far right now? So is it a blessing? It should be. Or is it legalism? That's what, in that day with Jesus and with Paul, when the legalists, they were reducing the purpose of the commandment to a bunch of man-made regulations. We do that today. Okay, so what about our attitude toward others? Any Jewish people in here? It really wouldn't matter if it was, but like we read, the Sabbath on Saturday was a sign of the Mosaic covenant along with circumcision for community fellowship of Christians or Israel. It's for Israel. So Paul says, so your attitude toward others. And there are some organizations that, I told you a story about this, but, Adventists, other cults, and, emphasize the actual Sabbath day, that we have to keep Saturday. So Paul, Romans 14:5, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So on these, what are called adiaphora, fancy word for non-essential stuff, you have to have a clean conscience before God, and you make sure you are doing what you think is right with God, before God, but be very careful trying to push your understanding on somebody else. Now that's for non-essentials. I mean, I'm a good Christian, a bank robber, so I'm not convicted of that. Well, no, you should be. But some of these, we need to understand Scripture enough to know what is a thou shalt not versus a, I don't begrudge anybody if they're genuinely just wanting to worship on Saturday. But the minute they start trying to tell me that I'm re-crucifying Christ, like I told you that story, because I worship on Sunday, now we have a problem. You don't understand that Sabbath stuff the way you think you do. So, all right, Colossians 2:16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Galatians 4:9-10. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, that's important, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desired again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. Once we're set free in Christ for a higher purpose of the law, why would you want to go back under the bondage of the law? And there are a lot of people that do that. And then it's not enough that they do it and make their lives miserable. They want to demand you people do it. So, which day is the Sabbath? Well, Saturday. But what do we Christians now use as a day of worship? Acts 20, verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. That's important. The message until midnight. Hope you guys don't have plans this afternoon. But the first day, so Sabbath is the seventh day. The first day then is Sunday. And so that's after the resurrection, Christians look to the first day, or what is commonly called the Lord's Day. Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So the, if you will, the offerings were collected in the church services, which were on Sunday. Historically, the New Testament church, as it was rising, Constantine, you remember his name, the emperor in the Eastern Roman Empire, he became a Christian, and he proclaimed Sunday as a day of rest in 321 AD. So just historically, it sort of became, you know, written down by Constantine. The other term sometimes is called the Lord's Day. You know, we call it, you know, are you going to church on the Lord's Day? John in Revelation chapter 1, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. So receiving these revelations of the book of Revelation tied to the Lord's Day. Another old dead early church father said, Christians no longer observe the Sabbath, seventh day, but direct their lives toward the Lord's Day, on which our life is refreshed by him and by his death. So now it's centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we are, as Christians, we are emphasizing Christ. Some of you have heard the name Karl Barth. He's a Swiss theologian of last century, but he said, New Testament Christianity was not rebelling against the order of creation, but was acting in profound agreement with what is said in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, and Genesis 2, when God rested on the Sabbath, on the basis of the Sabbath commanded. It saw, and the church saw and understood that in the resurrection, Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ, it was concerned with the revelation of the truth and faithfulness of God in his blessing, a hallowing on the seventh day. But the importance is, this is a remembrance, a small weekly remembrance of the resurrection of Christ. The reformer John Calvin in his Institutes said, but there is no doubt that by the Lord Christ's coming, the ceremonial part of the commandment was abolished. So the ceremonial law, the strict requirements of that Sabbath day were abolished. He is, I say, the true fulfillment of the Sabbath. So, you know, that's a little bigger thinking. It's not about rules, and it's about the day of Christ and thinking bigger thoughts about Christ. So if any questions, we're actually going to get through some of this, I think. Yeah.
It sort of shifts everything around for me if I can get Sunday as the week and not the work week.
Exactly, and we'll touch on that, but that's sort of what we have done with Sunday. So we'll get to that. So to quote Gerald Reed, he said in his book, you know, what does rest mean? Well, the Bible reminds us that we need to stop work, to take it easy, and to simply be, and to enjoy being the persons God desires us to be. That's hard for us Americans. You know, you've heard that. We are human beings, not human doings. We love to be active, And that creeps into the church where we have to do, do, do. Well, of course we obey. But first of all, we are who we are in Christ. That is so freeing. And a lot of folks in the church don't get that there. It's almost like their identity is not in being, it's in what I do. So, Marilyn, do you got? Very good. Yeah, that's some famous dead guy. I know a lot of famous dead guys. But he said, actually, it might have been Martin Luther, so I know him. I think he attributed to him, my week is too busy not to spend many hours in prayer beforehand. You know, that's sort of what you say, Dinah. Well, that was very hard for them, but we'll call them Messianic Jews. So Christians who are Jewish, they had to adapt. Now, today, do any of you know any Messianic Jews? In fact, we have Larry Dubin's coming, Jews for Jesus, Benny from Jerusalem, Giles and Angel's friend. So they are Messianic congregations today. There are some who are that they have Christian services on Saturday, but they're not Jewish services. They are Christian Jewish, you know, with a Jewish flair. And so I think that is really exciting to be part of. But that's, once again, they choose to do that. The ones that know better aren't going to try to insist you filthy Gentiles need to join us on Saturday. They would never do that. But yeah, that's the transformation that Jesus brought. And so why did Paul get in trouble? He was a Pharisee, remember? And so he, all of a sudden now he should have known the laws and, you know, all of them. In fact, those Mishnah, 39 prohibited work, they were known as the 40 minus one. I mean, even the way they said things, it's not 39, it's 40 minus one. And so Paul got himself, you know, people misunderstood him, and legalistic Jews, you know, especially got angry with him. So
Jesus' human body had a body just like ours. And so he couldn't go through walls and things like that like he did after he had his
resurrection body. Was that on the Sabbath? That's a great question. He was fully human and fully divine. He's fully divine. See, that's you talk about a. Okay, so could God do those things? You bet. Okay, but that's not the point right now, but that's a huge asterisk, Calvin, because that is Christology. The person and work of Christ. And Diana, that's a very important question, but that'll take us the next year to talk about that before we get back to the commandment. So thank you. A commentator on Exodus has a good quote. To love God is not to have a lazy day one day a week. Rather, it is to focus on doing his will, especially on the one day of week. To worship, learn, study, care, and strengthen the spirit. So for Christians, you know, it's not just a day off, you know, before the real work, the real week begins, like Tammy said. You know, that's, there's a purpose for today. Of course, relax, take it easy, enjoy your family. But that's why Sunday church service is important. Just, we need to appreciate what we have that prepares us for the world throughout the week. Oh, boy. All right. We're going to stop here because the next... It's going to take forever to get through this. But this is good because the next one, Georgia, practice your reading. Because Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. But what does it mean to rest? So, any other questions? Yeah. Actually, our daytimers or whatever, printed ones, a lot of them do that. And, you know, psychologically or, you know, what is sort of implicitly being said about that? Ah, we got to do all this stuff. Huh? Yes, these are the important days and work. It's no fun. And why do we have to work? You know, and then, but the week, TGIF, baby. All right, asterisk. I tried not to. I said the synagogue services, which of course those were early, you know, not developed as to what they are. I have a Jewish Hebrew prayer book and synagogue, if you will, order of worship now. But some of that was starting to become traditional, and Jewish males would be invited to read the scripture and then give a commentary. Later, you know, Paul in one of his men, do you have something to say? Paul says, I do. Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, but so yes, they had a very strict order of service that I'm not going to belabor right now. Anybody else?
Can I just comment on that? As I read that, wasn't handed a Bible that had verses and chapters. He was handed a scroll. He opened that scroll. That's
it. He found where it was written.
That was his word. It was him. He knew where that was and he turned right to it. It wasn't that he had to go mark the spot and do it. He opened that scroll. His mind went to that place in that scroll.
Excellent. And have you ever heard of the idea of MSA? What? Asterisk, I'd love to. No, but Jesus, like Scott said, Jesus just demonstrated that. Meaning he read the text, expounded on that, explained what it meant, and maybe, you know, would have, you know, defined some terms, but then he talked about the principle and applied it to himself. So when we read Isaiah chapter 11, where he was reading that, you know, hey, Isaiah, that's good stuff. But what is the real application for us this side of the resurrection? It points to Jesus. And see, that's the real application. And that's what... Try not to stomp my foot all the time, MSA, but that's what we're doing in Ezra. You guys wait. Better loosen up Kelvin and cheer him up because he's reading 70 verses of nothing but names. Who cares? Why is that in there? But there's a purpose. What does that mean? What would it mean? And then how does that apply to us? Because I don't see my, you know, I got a weird name, but not like the names poor Kelvin has to read. So he gets the gold star today. He said he's been practicing all this weekend listening for hours how to pronounce some of these names. And if any of you snicker, I'm going to have you read the next week. Any other questions? Excellent, Scott. That was... look at that. Right at 10 o'clock. All right, well, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the command and the privilege to rest. Help us to rest ultimately in you and to keep the primary focus of why it is you gave us one day of the week to not be concerned with the concerns of the world. Bless us now as we go into the main service. May we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I will point out, what is our work week usually nowadays? The calendar, how many days a week? 5. You know, it's even there. We are becoming a nation of leisure. And actually, I've heard tell that they're talking about going to a 4-day work week. You know, and because I don't want to work. I don't want to work. I think that's a song. Carrie, is that a song? I don't want to work. Please sing it. Thank you, guys. Great comments.